Galatians chapter 5. Let's prepare ourselves for the Spirit to open our eyes. We might see some of the things going on. I think that we've made it quite clear that how easy it is to see whatever you want to see and interpret these things. These are phrases and concepts that Paul is throwing out, and I hope that I've been honest enough with you that if you want to see them in different perspectives, you can. And it's just in how the Spirit is going to open our eyes that we will see what's going on. And He opens our eyes by lifting the veil, and that veil is lifted in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's prepare ourselves for a few moments of prayer for the looking at Scripture. Going to do a little bit work in the area of divine guidance and finish up verse 18, and then move into a list of some sins, why Paul is bringing those in, and where that fits into this whole circumstance. In the area of divine guidance, a lot of it, how you interpret Scripture in that area, even their people, has to do with your view of God. God loves us. He loved us as unbelievers and sent His Son to die that we might be reconciled to Him. God loves the believers and sent His Spirit. You just think your way through. I'm not talking about being a theologian. I'm talking about being a Christian, having a relationship with God. As you think through, how does it hit you that God is going to arrange the leading of His people? Is He going to make it really difficult? Is He going to put us in conditions that enlist and a lot of things you have to do? Or is our view of God that if He did all of this and He does have a plan for me and I want to be in that plan, how does it strike you what kind of system of guidance God would give? Is it going to be a system that is going to be handicapped if, in the circumstances of 2,000 years of church history, people stay away from the common mistake of trying to interpret the Bible by 20th century America? Because you're going to run into a lot of mistakes doing that. Interpret the Bible of its truth in the Spirit, as the way the Spirit leads us, but in the perspective of how we're going to look at it. Look at it in the 5th century. Look at it in the 7th century, 12th century. Look at it in the realms of where these are not in everybody's home. It's not in their lap and in their home with dust all over it. How would God have set up his, I want to guide those who love me and want to walk the way I want them to walk? And just think your way through that. Is He going to come up with an elaborate, long list of conditions? Or if God loves me, is He going to make it really rather simple? As He did my redemption, my salvation. And you just start with that very important fact. He loves us. And He's not, I'm going to, make this as difficult as possible. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and we can see these things that are set before us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the opportunity this evening to take time out and assemble with each other, to get caught up in the struggles of the day, at work, at home, in life, to sit down and to orient ourselves as to what really is important in life. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes and we might see the things that are set before us. We'll look at tonight. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. And again, how do we do that? We do that by faith. And then in continuing verse 16, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Flesh setting itself against the Spirit, verse 17. For the Spirit sets its desires and lust against, the flesh sets its desires and lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. One thing I didn't spend much time here, any time on this aspect, is that this is so powerful. People in our dealings with one another, where you know another person is a Christian, rather than attack and bite and devour, as we had earlier, biting one another in verse 15, devour, consume. How wonderful it is to know that this other believer who is at this point not walking in faith and therefore in sin, how wonderful it is to know that inside of them is the living Spirit of God, that we can pray that the Holy Spirit will just bring such agitation, such wrestling as we have here set against. The Spirit is against the flesh. That the Spirit will, using a word from John, the Spirit will convict. The Spirit will lead into circumstances that will bring them face to face with a lot of realities. That's so much more powerful than judging, maligning, killing another believer, is to realize that inside is the Spirit of the living God, who can do far greater work than I could ever do in dealing with someone, bringing them the truth. And then he continues in verse 17, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now verse 18, where we left off Sunday morning, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, we left off with asking, the first thing we want to ask ourselves is, do I believe that God leads? And that sets a whole framework of how you're going to go at it now. There are people who do not believe that God leads every believer all the time. That they're just, and I had a professor in seminary that believed this, they're just specific believers at certain times that God will lead them. But he doesn't lead all believers at all times. So what I'm showing you is how are we going to see Scripture has a lot to do. So let's say we come to the conclusion that he does lead every believer, puts himself there to lead every believer at any given moment. Then we're left with the question, how? How does God lead the believer then? And now we get into a lot of lists that books are written about. You can go to bookstores, library, and just a lot of books and books this thick and all the different things and lists and working through all of this stuff. Very difficult. I mean, sometimes I've looked at these books and, man, if I've got to go through all that to learn how God wants to lead me, forget it. You know, that's just got to be simpler than all of that. So how are we going to be led? Is it going to be by the circumstances? Is it going to be by doctrine? Am I at the slave of how much doctrine? There are people who believe that. And when you're kind of lost in the leading of God of what do you want to do? Well, you need more doctrine then. If you had more doctrine, you'd know. And that's not true. That's a horrible thing to do to a person. Or if you this and that, and we make this very, very difficult. We come to the simple question, are we led by the Spirit of the living God? Is that one of the things that God did for us when he redeemed us and saved us, was to give us the Spirit so that he could lead us in the Spirit. Now, having said what I just said, I want to make it very clear that God the Holy Spirit will lead, and there is the involvement of circumstances. There is the involvement of biblical truth. He's not going to lead us contrary to the truth of the gospel. But he may lead through what a friend, and this is why it's so important that you and I be in the Spirit. Because sometimes he will lead by the words of a friend, and he will lead by different things. But it comes down to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Many pastors have their books and their sermons and on divine guidance, making it very difficult with all their lists. But in reality, divine guidance is not difficult at all. It is no more difficult but how you and I were saved eternally. It's no more difficult than that, because all that involved was our faith, and that's all that is involved as far as the leading of the Spirit in the believer's life. So, if we talk about what does God want me to do, and we talk about divine guidance, the crisis of divine guidance, people, faith. That's the crisis of divine guidance. It is not trying to figure out all the circumstances. It is not trying to write down all the doctrines I know. The crisis of divine guidance that many Americans, Christians, are experiencing today is that they truly don't believe that God will just simply lead them if they trust Him. It's the crisis of faith. Do I believe that all I have to do is trust Him and He will lead me? And many Christians will say no to that. You have to have other things. And I don't believe that anymore. I firmly believe that God has made it very simple. Just as simple as He made our eternal life salvation. If you trust me, I'll get you there. I'll get you there. If you'll trust me. So trusting God to lead, trusting the one that God sent to lead us, trusting Him to do it. Now, for the sake of our tape work on this, I want to bring to attention a couple of verses that we have studied on this subject in dealing with Isaac. But let's look at Exodus 15 a moment. I want to show you a couple of principles. Divine guidance is not a New Testament phenomenon. Divine guidance has always been a part of God's relationship with His people, with His redeemed, with those that belong to Him. He cares for you people. And I'm going to be very emphatic. He loves you. He desires more than anything for you to make it the journey where He wants you to be, Christ formed in you. And He hasn't made it difficult. But divine guidance has always been part of His plan. So Exodus chapter 15, we have two different words in the Hebrew, is why I'm turning to this verse, that deal with God leading us and guiding us. Exodus 15:13, in thy love. There it is again, in His love, motivated by that love, thou hast led the people whom thou hast redeemed in thy strength, power, and that's the Holy Spirit, because Scripture is very clear, the power of God is the Spirit, in thy strength of power, thou hast guided them to the holy habitation. So we have led and we have guided. In your love, you lead. So because of His love, God is going to lead you in your life, in your journey. Those who are His, those who are redeemed, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. So He says, thou hast led the people whom thou hast redeemed. And so there's divine guidance for the believer walking by faith. In your power, this is the strength of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides. Now, if you will, this is so important to me that you see it. Hold your finger here because I'm not through with this passage. But turn back to Galatians with me a moment. Galatians chapter 3. I want to show you something. Galatians chapter 3. Now remember what we just read, in your power or strength. So in your power, your strength. Now, chapter 3, I want you to look just for a moment at verse 5. And remember how we corrected and dealt with the original text here. Does He, God the Father then, who provides you, who gives to you, with the Spirit, and now we have even, the word and is even, talking about what the Spirit is, working power. Remember the words, and we've dealt with the Greek and all of this. And working power. The power is God the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now turn back with me to our study in Exodus. Exodus 15. In thy love thou hast led the people whom thou hast redeemed. In thy strength or power thou hast guided them to the holy habitation. We have two words, if you'll notice, even in the English and in Hebrew, two different words for guiding. You have led, you have guided. Now, very quickly, so that we can get with these and move on, one word, the first word, you have led, if you look at your Christian life as and other Christians, everyone that you know that's a believer, we're on a journey. So we'll start here with the cross on the left side of our paper, and we have the phrase in this, the holy habitation. So we have an objective over here, and let's put for the church, Christ formed in you. Okay. So this is our objective. Now, what we have two different words, and the way you'd want to look at these words is one word is that day by day, as we make this journey across the land of our life, and God takes us all on different journeys, He leads us each day. Each day He will guide. Each moment He will guide us. That's the first word. And He has led. But if you look at the second word, the first word then, moment by moment, day by day, as we walk by faith, the other word is a sort of a transporting word. In other words, the second word is to the final objective. I want to get over to this point. If you had a map, and on the east coast here, on the west coast is California, and you come over to the east coast over here, we're on this long journey, and the second leading word is He's going to lead you all the way over to your objective, to the east coast. Now, the thing that we have with this is, He's going to lead you differently maybe than someone else. Some people, if we picture this journey as a map of the United States for fun, some people are going to take the northern route. Some people are going to take the central route. The Greystyle people will take the southern route. Just kidding. Now, so we have different journeys. We're all led by the Spirit, and we're all going to end up here. This is where we want to go, into the holy habitation or Christ formed in you. And this is why I encourage you, especially when we come through to chapter 6, this is why people, we don't bite and devour one another with law. Because along the way, you may be stuck, or you may run into a believer who is stuck in Las Vegas, if you get my drift. You may run into a believer who's stuck up here in Salt Lake City, if you get my drift. You may run across a believer who's just broken down on the side of the road. You may run into a believer who's just stopped to play 10 years of golf. You know, just having fun. So what I'm showing you is there's all kinds of things that happen. Sin, distractions, failures, broken down car, broken down life. So we run across all these people. People, don't stop the car and shoot them. Don't stop the car and kick them. You stop the car and you encourage them to get back into their journey that God has taken them on. Somewhere along the line, you're going to need it. I promise you, if you're walking in the Spirit of their life. So this is what we have with our two words, and I don't want to belabor it any further than that. Look at Psalm chapter 31, please. Psalm chapter 31, and we'll look very quickly at verse 3. The merits of reading a lot, but I'm pressed for time. 31:3. For thou art my rock and my fortress, relationship with Him when walking by faith. For thy name's sake, thou wilt lead me and guide me. Same two different words here. So here we have the first one there. Each day by day, is going to lead me, and you're guiding me where this ultimate journey is going. I do know the ultimate journey. It's up here, Christ formed in me. How do I get there? We all don't get there the same way. Now, we all are going to walk by the faith in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't misunderstand me there. But we're not all going to take the same journey. And you're going to meet people of all kinds. Some are going to have gone through a lot of different areas in things of testing of money. Others in the testing of their physical body. Others in the testing of family and marriage. other, all kinds of things and circumstances. And what we want to see with each other is, He's taken us on this journey, and this is where I want to get Christ formed in you. And all of the turn rights and the turn lefts and this and that and all of that, that's His leading me day by day. But I know that ultimately He's guiding me, and He's taking me to Christ formed in me. I know that. I don't understand sometimes the pit stops. I don't understand sometimes the detours. I don't understand sometimes the wrong turns and what happens on them. But I know that He's guiding to the final objective of Christ formed in me. And that's why, people, we help one another. We encourage one another. We serve one another. All the one another's that are in Scripture. It's related to this divine guidance. I don't know what God is doing in guiding you in your life, but I want to encourage you to keep walking and being led by Him today when it doesn't look like it's going anywhere. It really looks like you're in a dead-end alley, but I want to encourage you. I'm not going to sit there and lambast you. Yeah, you're in an alley, you dummy, you loser. No. Right now, it looks like an alley, but isn't it going to be interesting to find out what's He going to do with me here? How's He going to get me out of this? And where's He going to take me? And that's a wonderful place to be sometimes. When you're cruising down the road 75, 85 miles an hour, you don't get to smell the sand and taste it like you do when the car breaks down. So there's a lot of different things that go on when He's leading us. So what I want us to do is to not only in ourselves have this faith, but encourage the faith of others in the day by day in this overall journey to having Christ formed in us. So God leads us by His Spirit, and note why in verse 3, for His own name's sake, for His own benefit. One of the problems that people have in making divine guidance so difficult is we make it very human. So we go through all the human things in divine guidance. Don't do that. Divine guidance is for Him. It's for His glory. I trust Him. For His glory to lead. One more passage, if you will. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 10. They will no longer, Isaiah 49:10. They will no longer, or they will not hunger or thirst. Neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. Now, all of these are things that happen to us along the journey. It's going to look like we're hungering and thirst. The scorching sun is another attack. The sun, the heat, the sun. All of these are things, if we were studying divine guidance, we'd spend some time there and be really encouraged by what's going on, knowing that all these things are not going to get us down if we continue walking by faith. For he who has compassion. Now, we saw in the Exodus passage it was His love. Here's one of the manifestations of love is compassion. For He who has compassion on them will lead them. Sometime when you're in the pressure of the scorching heat or the sun or the hunger, meaning just that emptiness in your soul, He's going to guide. Your God has compassion on them, will lead them, and will guide them to a spring of water, to the objective, to where He's taking us. So by His compassion, very close to His love, God sent His Spirit to guide each believer. Why is God going to lead each believer who will walk by faith? Because of His compassion, because of His love. This is the view of God you should have. Again, leading day by day, moment by moment, in the scorching heat, in the sun, in the thirst, in the hunger, in all these things, He's going to lead me. And when you get there, in those areas of life, you're really going to challenge, your faith is really going to be challenged. Do I really trust Him? Do I really want to trust Him? Do I really believe God loves me? Look at this. He's brought me here and it's a dried up creek. I'm thirsty and I thought there'd be water at this ravine and it's dry. What kind of God are you? So the divine guidance is not difficult in the sense of I got a lot of things I need to learn and read books on it. It's just difficult to do. Do I trust him? Do I trust him to guide me? So I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's not difficult. You don't have a lot of things you got to read and learn and all of this stuff and a lot of lists. The difficulty of it is the simplicity of it. Do I believe he'll guide me? Is that my view of God? So this is the divine guidance that we're looking at. So again, the problem with so many in divine guidance is just trusting God the Holy Spirit. And they feel very uncomfortable just trusting the Spirit. And that's why it's a battle of faith. They feel uncomfortable following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's continue verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, see that word if? Not every believer is led by the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry to say that in this perspective, I don't think very many are. But I'm not the judge. But I do want to show you, not every believer will have this leading. So if we're led by the Spirit, the word for leading in the Greek here is what we call, parsing is a present passive. I haven't used the Greek much with you, but I want to hear. Because the passive voice is in contrast with the active voice. And what I'm trying to say, show you in the Greek here is the passive voice means you receive it. You receive this leading. It's not an active voice. You do the leading. You receive it. I receive this leading from God. So again, the question, how do I receive the leading from God? Either by something I do or simply by trusting Him and I receive it as I did His salvation at the cross. And when I trust Him, I receive His leading me in life. The word means to bring someone somewhere. I'm just reading out of the lexicon. Bring someone somewhere. In this sense, bringing a believer to Christ being formed in you, that's that holy habitation. That's our objective. That's the East Coast if we were looking at a map and traveling across. The word means to carry. So do you understand what I'm putting? I want you to see this. It means this Greek word. It means to bring. It's right out of the lexicon. So it means to bring. Now, it means to bring someone somewhere. He will bring you, if you will let him, he will bring you to Christ formed in you. He will bring you to spiritual love manifested from you. He will bring you to a righteous life. He will bring you in this journey. The word also, the one Greek word, also means to carry. I love this one. He's going to bring you here, but more beautiful than that, he's going to carry you here. So he's going to bring you, he's going to carry you. And we have to understand, how does he carry us? He carries us by his power. Robert Duvall and Rex Harrison were in a movie of two old men, and they were in the 70s, and Robert Duvall wanted to get somewhere, and couldn't. The buses were closed that day and he didn't have a car and couldn't drive. So Rex Harrison, also 75, says, okay, I'll drive you there. And so he said, oh my goodness, I didn't know you could do that. I was really shocked. And then the next picture is Rex Harrison. What he has is a two-seated bicycle. And so Robert Duvall says, this isn't exactly what I call driving someone somewhere. And I thought you were going to drive me. And of course, Rex Harrison, he's a real snappy old man. And he said, you know, what are you complaining about? You're getting there and I'm carrying you. So we're going. Okay. Don't tell the Holy Spirit how he's going to carry you, dear people. Just trust that he will carry you. He will give you the power. He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the substance. He is the living water flowing through you. Christ himself tells us that. He will bring us to this. And he not only will bring, he'll carry us. He'll carry us to that point. The word also means to lead. So you have all of these concepts in this one Greek word. In the Hebrew, we had two different words. Here we have this one word, and it's this rich. It has all of these concepts in it, in the one verse. Let me just read to you Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, if you understand that phrase, that verse. For all who are being led of the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, these are the sons of God. It will help you understand Galatians 5:17 and a great deal of 1 John. Because does he ever lead the flesh? No, the flesh in us that we're not to live by is not the Son of God. It's the new man. He's going to lead the new man. Galatians 3:26, we are sons of God by faith, and as sons of God, how are we going to walk? We're going to walk by faith. As you have received him, walk. So we have the Holy Spirit was sent to us to guide the new man, to bring the new man to this point, carry the new man, lead the new man. And how do we get that from him? We walk by faith, trusting in the one that he sent. Remember, there are two sendings by God. We saw this in John, all through the Gospel of John, but primarily John 13:14, where we are now, and John 15. But starting off in chapter 13, the first sending by God is the sending of Jesus Christ, and that was to reconcile all men to himself by removing the barrier. And then the second sending by God was God the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, carry, bring the believer to the place where God would have them. So this is just one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit is sent to do so many things. He is sent to restore us from sin. He is sent to empower us. He is sent to illuminate Scripture for us so that we can understand Scripture. To give us a righteous life, the fruit of the Spirit, to pour spiritual love through us. And he is also sent to your people. And this is what's beautiful, because so often Paul's relationship with man, verse, I wish we had time to just work on it. So I said, want to be my master? Because I am not walking by law. The idea being is, if you walk by law, sin's going to be your master. That's why you have a lot of preachers who have law, and what is their primary emphasis and thrust? Sin. Well, we got to talk about sin all the time. We got to stop sin. But so what? Well, it's really funny. We're going to stop sin, so we're going to put you under stricter law. And yet Scripture is very clear. The more you go under law, the more sin's going to master you. So this is what he's saying. For you are not under law, but under grace. Okay, what's the crisis of grace? Understanding what it means. Do I believe that grace means God does all the work and all I do is trust him? Or is grace man working? Grace is God does all the work. So we are under grace. God does all the work. How do we receive the work of God? Faith. It's the only way we receive the work of God. So we're back to faith again. Now, when are we not under law? Our passage says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. When are we not under law? People, we are not under law when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's grace. I'll do it. So if you decide to live your life by grace, God doing all the work, that's the truth of the gospel, that means you're going to walk by faith in the one that God sent, and that means you're not under law. So we're not under law when we are walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So we're under grace. When you walk by faith, just as at the gospel, meaning redemptive salvation at the cross, it was by faith. When you do faith, you're not under the law. You're not under performance system. And again, this is the crisis of grace. God doing all the work versus man doing some of it. Now, you cannot live by flesh and live by grace at the same time. I want this clear. You cannot live by grace, I'll put grace up again, and by the flesh. You simply cannot do it. If you decide to go this way, go by the law, then you're cut off from grace, he said earlier in chapter 5. You're cut off from this if you decide to live by law. You cannot live under law and live by grace. Now, turn with me to a couple of passages. Let's look at a few and then we'll move on. But look with me at John 1:17. John 1:17. We'll just kind of roll through a few. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Not the law, people. You're not under this thing from Moses. It's from Christ. Look at Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20. And the law came in that the transgressions might increase. That's why you have law. Why do you want to walk? Why do you think you're going to get divine guidance under law, which is designed to bring about sin? But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, turn to Galatians with me. Let's look at a couple of things in this chapter. Look at Galatians 3:3. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? No, we're being perfected by the Holy Spirit through faith. Look at chapter 5:16. Chapter 5:16. Walk by the Spirit. Look at chapter 5:25. Live by the Spirit. Now in our verse 18, led by the Spirit. People, our life is lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Our intimacy is with the Holy Spirit so that He can bring us to Jesus Christ. Our intimacy is with the Spirit. I hope this is clear. He is, as it were, He is. He is our Lord. The Holy Spirit is our Lord. That He might take us to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why? That we might come to the Father. See, when Jesus Christ came, we've said this before, the Jews had a great deal of trouble going to Him. They said, no, we're going straight to God the Father. No, I'm the way to the Father. You want to come to the Father? Come through me. And now, we want to claim, oh, we go straight to Jesus. No, you want to come to me, you got to go through my Spirit who will take you to me. See? This is what we want to get is to Jesus Christ so that He can take us to God the Father. So we walk, therefore, with Him. Now, when we walk by the Holy Spirit and not by the law, we're not under law, but we're under a higher law. Let me just give you some references and you can look at them later. It's called the law of the Spirit, Romans 8:2. It's called the law of love, Romans 13:8-10. It's called the law of liberty, or the perfect law, James 2:8. It's called the law of Christ, 1 Corinthians 9:22 and Galatians 6:2. Okay, now, coming off of that leading, coming off of the leading of our passage now, but if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, verses 19 to 21. Where in the world does this come from? What does this have to do with all that we have been studying? He is now just going to dive into a list of sins. Look at him. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and if I missed any of you, things like these. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Where does this list come from? All of a sudden, Paul brings us into a list of personal sins. He hasn't mentioned personal sins through this whole deal. And now all of a sudden, pow, we're right in front of all of this list. So we got to ask ourselves why. Why does Paul, all of us, and it does seem all of a sudden, just boom, but right there, with this long list of sins. The legalists say, boy, man, I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this list. Okay. James, in his book, and John, in 1 John, did something interesting. James starts off talking about joy. John starts off talking about joy in 1 John. And then they both go into a discussion of sin, personal sins. In James, they blamed God. Yeah, we sin, but it's all God's fault. In John, they just denied. Us sin? Not us. We didn't sin. Each have their own problems and each have to be dealt with. Then James goes into a long discussion of faith. John goes into a long discussion of love. Shouldn't surprise you. Those are the bedrock of each other. Faith working itself in love. But here, why does Paul go into discussion on sins and list the personal sins? Okay, here's why. So that you don't miss this. Because when you try to live by law, by list, by the flesh, not only will you not keep the law, but as you try to live by the law, sin results. He's dealing with people who said, no, we're not going to walk by faith in the Spirit, we're going to walk by law. So Paul is now saying, let me show you now what law gives birth to. This should not surprise us because we've already studied why the law. Why was the law given? The law was given to what? Increase sin. Remember? It was given to increase sin. So we're not surprised. He wants to show you, not only will you not carry out the law, it is going to lead to more sin. So you will not keep the law, but you're going to result in sin. So let's get it down so we follow what Paul is doing. This is very important to me that you see what's going on here so that we can understand this list. Because it's a beautiful list. Look with me a moment to Romans 3:19. I'll turn there with you. Let's turn and it's worth it. Just stay with me. Romans 3:19. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. I can't do the law. It's going to cause you to sin. Look at chapter 3, verse 20. Let's just read it. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So I'm trying to do the law, and all I'm going to find is sin. Look at chapter 5, verse 20. Chapter 5, verse 20. And the law came in that transgressions, transgressions might increase. That sin increases. This is why law. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Look at one more, chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? What does he mean? Well, if the law produces sin, the law must be sin. No. May it never be. On the contrary. You see how the person would conclude that? Well, if everybody does the law, does sin, the law must be sinful, produce sin. No, may it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. People, coveting covers every born-again believer. When we look at this list tomorrow night, in our next lesson, I want you to begin to understand one thing. That list covers every Christian. any Christian who will say, this, I don't do anything in this list, they're in denial of sin. They're in 1 John 1:9 or 1:8. They deny that they sin and they're a liar and they deceive themselves. Just don't you be deceived by them. So, here's what we got going on. When you try to live the Christian life by law, you will stumble. What does Isaiah 28 say when we read it, verse 13? Stumble, fall backwards, take and snare. What's going on there? You can't keep it. You're going to try, but you are going to stumble. So instead of a righteous life, you're going to have self-righteousness by law. Instead of love, serving one another, you're going to bite, consume, and destroy one another. That's the dilemma of law. So instead of what you really are looking for, sins are going to result. And that's what Paul said in Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. Boy, I work so hard. Oh, man, nobody works as hard as I do. I got this whole list. I know the whole law. And the harder I work, the more sinful I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to take me out of this despair? This is what's going to result. Okay, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Okay, what I want to do here very quickly as we close tonight, the Greek has its own way of emphasis. Every now and then I want to share things with you that enrich a passage a little bit. The Greek has its own way of emphasizing. In English, we're pretty much bound. We got to have a subject, a verb, and then the noun and all that stuff. We got all the structure and you learn it by diagramming sentences and this is the way it's gotta be. I like Greek. Greek's just, we don't have any of that. I think that's why I like Greek. You can put the verb anywhere you want. You can put the subject anywhere you want. You can put prepositional phrases, adverbial clauses, anywhere you want and it'd be perfect Greek. And a lot of times the order is for emphasis. If I put the verb first, boom, that's what I'm looking to emphasize. Now, I share that with you to show you the emphasis. In the Greek here, the evidence is what's first. It's what is emphasized. Even really more than the list of sins that everybody wants to talk about, what is really emphasized here is evident, visible, seen. That's the place first in the Greek, it's emphasized. Visible are the works of the flesh. Evident. In other words, you can see the works of the flesh. They're visible. They're apparent. They manifest. All of those are what the Greek word means. Now, what's he saying? They are seen in your life. They are seen in the assembly. Because we're dealing with the assembly here. They're seen in the assembly. They're seen in your home. They're seen in your marriage. They're seen in your social life. Seen everywhere. What is visible? What is seen? When you live by the flesh, evident. It is evident that you're living by the law. So evident, if I put that first now for you, evident are the works. The word for works here, the deeds, the doing of the flesh, that old nature. The NIV calls it sinful nature. Old man. The nature of man that will not what? And not inherit the kingdom of God. Does not receive eternal life. Alright. We've seen several passages. When we try to keep the law, we become law breakers. When we try to keep the law, sin and death result. You can look at Romans 6:14, Romans 8:2, Romans 7:24. So, we get an idea of what comes from the flesh. We've been studying the problem of the church. Saved by grace, live by law. Now, there are one or two ways that a believer can try to live the Christian way of life, the Christ-like life, have righteous life, have Christ formed in them. And one of those is by the flesh, by something I do, and the second is by faith. And there are a lot of preachers right now there are preachers telling the people, God doesn't want your faith, doesn't want you to live by faith, so your only alternative then is to live by flesh. You're either going to live by faith or you're going to live by flesh. You're going to live by faith, directed toward the power of God the Holy Spirit, or you're going to live by your flesh. Now, if you decide to live by the flesh, try to keep the law, try to produce a righteous life, all of these things that you're going to do, all that's going to happen is you're going to produce more sins. The worst thing that can happen to a person is to be successful for a while in trying to live by the flesh and think they're doing a great job. That's the scribes and the Pharisees. That's a religious person. They're very successful at it as far as, from the surface, the way that it looks. Now, what's going to happen is a revelation of the sins, the works of the law. So let's look at our verse 19. Evident are the works of the manifestation of the flesh, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and carousing. And again, just in case you missed anyone, other things or things like this. Let me close with this statement. Before we even go through and take a look at some of those, any believer who claims that he is not guilty of anything in this list is a liar. He deceives himself. The truth is not in him. And indeed, he calls God a liar. Now, we're not going, in our next lesson, we're not going to any depth whatsoever in this list. But what I do want to show you is how there are two things that are going to happen, one of two major things. And they both deal with an attitude about the law, by the way. There's going to be the manifestation of sins, personal sins, that are under the traditional concept and thinking of sins, thinking of what is horrible. And then there's going to be, included in this list, there are going to be the sins that result from living by law. And I'll show you that. People are going to do a lot of these things, and they're going to claim that they're in the Spirit and doing them. But what I want you to see is, no, that's a manifestation of what happened. It's like what we saw with that verse on biting. You bite one another, you devour one another, be careful that you consume one another. Remember? Okay, what was that? That's the dilemma of law. You live by law, you will bite one another. Now, while you're biting, you might, oh Lord, how great I am and how righteous I am. I have a right to bite this believer. I have a right to devour this believer. But I'm living by the law. I have the law on my side. I have Scripture on my side. You'll find that verse in this list of sins. It's a powerful list. And Paul, it was definitely led by the Spirit in the composition of this list. These are not just, he didn't just sit down there and without any thought just picked out a lot of sins. Indiscriminately. No. Very clear here for that old sinner that we all think about and that self-righteous believer who doesn't even think that he sins. All you have to do is watch him and you can just shake your head. You're so far out, it's unbelievable. Okay, we'll start here tomorrow night. Father, once again, Father, tonight we are brought face to face to our view of you. How will you lead us? How will you guide us? We're brought to the fact of your love and your compassion, the power of your Spirit, that you've made it very simple, not complex or difficult. If we would just walk by faith in your Spirit, you will guide us. It's so easy to slip over into law. Sometimes we do it without even realizing it until we start seeing the manifestation of the flesh in us. Father, we praise you for the God you are and for your love. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.